You're listening to Cold OD Messianic Congregation's weekly podcast. Our services are every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. For more information, like us on Facebook or visit our website at coldod.org.
Samuel anoints Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 10, if you'd look there, 1 Samuel 10, this is where Samuel anoints Saul, and I just gave a title, Are You Anointed and For What? Are you anointed and for what? So in chapter 10 of 1 Samuel, the prophet anoints Saul privately before he presents him to the people publicly. And as we know, Saul was not he was really the people's choice. And a very appealing person outwardly attractive. And, even Samuel was impressed and maybe gravitated toward this choice. But as we know, we'll see later as we continue in Samuel, he wasn't really the one after God's heart. David would be the man after God's heart. In 1 Samuel 13, 14, I think that it says that. A man like my own heart, it says in the Hebrew key. And but Saul started out well. And remember, the people had demanded a king. They wanted a king. And so God said, finally, okay, you get what you're asking for. You want a king instead of the judges, instead of trusting me to lead you and to deliver you like I've been doing through the prophets and through the judges. In this case, really the judges, and they got it. So verse 1, 1 Samuel 10, he says, Then Samuel took the vial of oil and poured it on his head. Then he kissed him and said, Has Adonai not anointed your ruler over his inheritance? When you leave me, okay. And then he gives him signs. So, anointed, the word mashach, let's say mashach there, it means to separate out, to separate out. Now, what word comes from mashach? Mashiach. Very good. Let's say Mashiach. That's the Messiah, the anointed one, our Messiah, the Messiah. The anointed one comes from this word, to separate out. He is the one separated out for unique and special purpose. Messiah was, Yeshua was. Are you or am I anointed? Well, I would say to the degree that Messiah, the anointed one, lives through you or me, you or I. If he lives through us, there's the anointing, you know, because this would be his ministry, his calling. In Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 4, says the Spirit, the Ruach, or the Spirit of Adonai, Elohim, the Lord God, is on me, because Adonai has anointed me, what for? To proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Did Yeshua ever quote this prophecy from Isaiah? Yeah, where is it recorded? Who knows? Very good. Luke 4. Yeah, Luke 4. He opened the Torah, opened the prophets, rather, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah in the synagogue, and he read it at the commencement of his ministry, really. And he read from there, probably quoted from memory, and spoke it, and there was a mixed review, wasn't there? Mixed review, you know, well, excited, but then some were not too happy about it. And that's always the case when we're really carrying the truth of God. There's going to be a mixed response. And he says, he sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives. Notice all these things. Opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of Adonai's favor and the day of God's vengeance. So it's not all good stuff. The day of God's vengeance also, but that can be the vengeance on those that have persecuted God's people. To comfort all those who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them, I love this phrase, beauty for ashes. Let's say that. Beauty for ashes. It's literally a covering for the cover. God covers our sin. It's a beautiful picture of redemption. Oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That, notice the end, it's not just help people and that's it, but that they might be called oaks of righteousness. And I'll mention that word in a minute. Oaks of, that phrase, the plant, what it means. The planting of Adonai that he may be glorified. So we're called to help others, to bless others, to deliver others, that they might in turn be blessing to others. Because look, now verse 4, here's the B part. They will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will restore former desolations. They will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. So, are, this is what his work would be. Now, are we anointed? Well, it says in 1 John, I'll give you a few New Covenant quotes, 1 John 2:20 and 27, you have an anointing from the Holy One, John says, and you all know. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you. You don't need anyone to teach you, humanly speaking, but you have his anointing teaches you about all things. He doesn't work through people, but his anointing is the one that teaches us, the Spirit in us. He's true and is not a lie, just as it is taught you, abide in him. 2:27 of John. 2 Corinthians 1:21 and 22 say this, he anointed us, he set his seal on us, and gave us the Spirit, the Ruach, in our hearts as a pledge. So that happened when you trusted Yeshua. If you trusted the Lord, you were, Ephesians 1:13 and 4:30 says, sealed with by the Holy Spirit, by the Ruach HaKodesh. I don't believe he ever leaves or forsakes us, Hebrews 13:5. I don't believe once we have the Spirit, he's the payment. It says even there in Ephesians 4, he's the, I guess I didn't write it down here, but he's the pledge, the down payment of our future possession. So once you belong to the Lord, you, God doesn't lose those that are his. He can discipline us, he will. He can, we can lose his... It just brought back memories of a certain episode of something I saw. Anyway, where they keep making his phone go off in a bad time in a when people are trying to do their readings and they're that's his anyway. Okay. So, So we have the Ruach HaKodesh. When you trusted Yeshua, it says we were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. He comes to live inside of us. We become his home in 1 Corinthians 1:6-19, we have the Holy Spirit, and this anointing teaches us. Now, when God anoints, it's for a mission, it's for an assignment. You have a mission. You've been separated out. You've been singled out by the general of the army, the Adonai Tzevaot. You've been singled out, selected, separated out by the Creator to perform a task. Not the person next to you, you. And also the person next to you. But you have, we as members of Messiah's body, we're anointed ones of the anointed one. So we proclaim, we bind up, we open, we comfort, we console, we give beauty for ashes, we the anoint oil of joy for mourning, etc. In order to make them oaks of righteousness. The word oaks of righteousness, ele hatzedek, want to try that? Ele hatzedek, one more time. Ele hatzedek, oaks of righteousness. Guess what it really means? The word ele really is the word ram. These are rams. Rams of righteousness, if you will. The word means powerful and strong. Rams of righteousness. So that's what we do. That's who we are. And so now they rebuild, restore, repair. We are anointed. We're sent to liberate others so that they can now be strong to do God's work. And of course, that's where the shofar comes from, right? Let's go to the next one. I think we got it. There we go. Some pictures of shofars. That's when maybe the oil poured too. I don't know. But the shofar used on Rosh Hashanah, the high holidays, and the close of Yom Kippur service, which we'll be doing the opening this week, this year, not the close. But Jonathan is going to blow his shofar for us this year. And this is where it comes from. So from the ram's horn, a male sheep. Not a goat, but a sheep. And so now in verses 2 through 8, three signs are given to convince Saul concerning God's call to be king as spoken by Samuel. And here are the three signs. This is verses 2 through 8. Back in 1 Samuel 10. Two men near Rachel's tomb told him that his father's donkeys were found. So God's watchfulness here. The second sign, it says your donkeys, your Kish's, your dad's donkeys are found. Three men then give him two loaves of bread at the oak of Tabor when his food had run out. So here's a sign of God's provision for him. He's there hungry, and these three men give him, and this is to help convince him, we believe, of his call, God's call on his life. Then thirdly, he met a procession of prophets, and the Spirit of God came upon him at the hill of God where the Philistine garrison was. So this is God's power to enable him to win. So if you think about it, we have God's omniscience, God's omnipresence, and God's omnipotence all here in these signs. Omniscience, God's, what does that mean? God knows, yeah, he knows everything. What's God's omnipresence mean? Yes, he's everywhere. Absolutely. And omnipotence. All powerful, yes. El Gabor, he's the powerful one. All right, so these signs are given. Now, notice in verse 5 what happens when these prophets, they meet him. Verse 5, look at this. You'll meet a band of prophets coming down from the high place, preceded by a harp, tambourine, and a flute. But you know, everyone knows, though, we're not supposed to use musical instruments in a church or a congregation. We all know that, right? If you grew up in a certain denomination, I've been told by many, and it's a beautiful denomination, you know, it's wonderful things in the in the people and many people. But anyway, someone was just telling me about that. I said, I grew up and we were forbidden to play, even at home. I said, you couldn't even have like a guitar lesson or piano. I said, no, we were told, we did it secretly, but we weren't supposed to. I said, where do they get this from? I don't know. Anyway, but here, these people, these schools of prophets were established by Samuel, whom he had trained as musicians and vocalists and raised as teachers and leaders in place of the corrupt priesthood. They would chant hymns, it's believed, according to the rabbis, chant hymns and exhort the people to serve God. So this is what prophesying was when it says they were prophesying. Later, Eliahu and Elisha, led this school of prophets. Now, this worship moved the hearts and centered the minds of the people toward Adonai in devotion to him. That's what happened. And so it says, as they came down, and this is the prophets, they would meet Samuel, and it says the Ruach of Adonai will seize you, and you will prophesy with them. You will turn into Ish Achar, another man. And then it says that now these signs will happen. God is with you. After you, verse 8, you go down before Gilgal, and I'll come down. And then he tells him to wait for him. He says 7 days you're to wait. He's establishing his authority. The prophet, the king is subordinate to the prophet. He's establishing that right from the outset, making it clear, Saul, you're not going to be the boss of everything, even though you're king. You're really... You're getting the word of the Lord from me, Samuel saying, from the prophet. And so God, it says, changed his heart and gave him Lev Achar, another heart, then it says in verse 9. Saul turned his back to leave Samuel, and God transformed his heart. It says it literally, he gave him another heart, Lev Achar, verse 9. And so I have a question. Can God change a person? Can he transform one from being hard to soft? From being tough to tender? I mean, think about it. Ezekiel 36, of course he can, 26, prophesied for Israel, a prophecy for Israel. We can apply it though for us as well as application for all. Moreover, God says for Israel, I'll give you a new heart. That's a lev chadesh, a new heart. I'll put a ruach chadasha, a new spirit within you. I will remove the stony heart from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And so that's what salvation, or being born again, born from above, is. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any person be in the Messiah, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new, right? God gives us a new heart. He does, and this is a wonderful, how God can transform us, you know? It's amazing. It can happen. Well, I won't go into that. But the Spirit of God three times says he seizes or overtakes, that's the translation used here, the TLV, seizes him, verses 6, 10, and 11. Three times it mentions that the Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God, and the word is tzalach, let's say tzalach. It means, it literally translated that way, but it really means to succeed, to overcome obstacles. And then one prophesies, and the word is nava, let's say nava. It means to transmit God's word, literally. To prophesy is to transmit God's word. So three times it mentions God's Spirit. So is given, God's Spirit is given to enable you, to enable me to succeed. That's the really meaning here. And he enables us to succeed, to overcome any obstacle. You can't do it in yourself, but the Spirit of God in you, that's why one of the reasons he's given, to enable you to overcome obstacles. And Do you have the Spirit of God? Well, Yeshua said in John 14 and 14, several verses there, 16, 17, and 26, that a helper would be given with you. He'd be with you forever, and he's with you, he'll be in you, and he'll remind you of everything that I've said to you, Yeshua said. I'm going to send this paraclete, remember, this one called alongside, called to the side to help, called right alongside of you to help you, the Spirit of God. And he will testify in John 15, 26, 27 about me. And he says, you also will testify because you've been with me. So the Spirit comes. He says, when he comes, who I will send from the Father, the Spirit of truth. And it says, we have the Spirit. We're the temple of God now, once we become followers of Yeshua, once we trusted him for salvation. And he's in you, 1 Corinthians 6, 19, and we're no longer our own. And I mentioned some other verses before, the Ephesians verses about being sealed by the Spirit. So do we prophesy? Can we prophesy? Because there's all sorts of weird definitions about that, I think, in the Christian world, to be honest. I don't agree with necessarily their interpretation of what they're calling prophecy sometimes. And so do some have a special gift from God to do so? Remember, it means to transmit God's word is the real meaning of Nava, where prophet, the prophet comes from, the word prophet. The Greek word prophetia means to speak forth the mind and the counsel of God, the will of God. And it's declaring, in other words, that which cannot be known by natural means. So it's can be forthtelling, but it can also be foretelling. In other words, what will happen or what is happening. So are there prophets today? Can someone claim to be writing or speaking new scripture? No, we believe the canon of scripture is complete. It's not incomplete. No, absolutely not. But can God speak through someone to bring his scripture to bear on your or my life now, on our congregation, on our nation? Yes, he can. Yes, he can. I absolutely believe he can. But we have to be very cautious, in my opinion, about embracing someone who claims to be a prophet. Usually the person who claims to be isn't one, from my opinion. And we want to be open, but we don't want to be naive. We want to be humble, be able to receive, and God to be able to hear from God, but we don't want to be stupid. so you need, and I need always, to have discernment. And, can a prophet be wrong, make a mistake? Well, I've thought about that. Perhaps if the human does get in the way of the divine, I'd guess so. But does God ever make errors in judgment himself? No, he doesn't. So the only test we have for anything are the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God. That's the only thing. To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because they have no light. Isaiah 8:20. Psalm 119:130, the unfolding of your words gives light, gives understanding to the simple. 1 Peter 1:19 through 21, we have a more reliable prophetic word. We do well to pay attention to it as a lamp shining in a dark place, till the day dawns, the morning star rises in our hearts. Above all, understand this: no prophecy of the Scripture comes about from a person's own interpretation. No prophecy was ever given, brought forth by human will. Rather, people spoke from God as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And I could give you other verses like 2 Timothy on that, but the Holy Spirit speaks, and he's In the believer, he bears witness to the truth in you, Romans 8:16. And he gives you discernment. The Word of God is a discerner in Hebrews 4:12. But through the Holy Spirit, as I trust the Spirit to help, I need him to, and I hide God's Word in my heart, Psalm 119:11, so that the Spirit can use or guide me to give me discernment. You can't just expect everyone else to do it for you. If you need to hide the Word of God in your heart, Psalm 119:11, and then he can give discernment. And I think discernment and guidance both come as I submit to the Word of God. When I submit to it, that's when God can really guide me through it. So again, are there those that are, you can't go out that way. You're trying to get out there. unusual. Yeah. Can't go through a wall. Only if Yeshua could do that after his resurrection. I know it looks like you can go out that way. All right. So there are there. I believe there are. Do I believe there are prophets today? That's a whole discussion. But yes, I think there are certain people who've been given that gift. But I'm so caught. I usually they're the people that, as I said, I think they don't say it of themselves. They're humble. They're really, I could say a few people in my life that I would say I think were. But some people, it's amazing. They say they're prophet. They say they're saying, and they're incorrect half the time. And you say, well, wait a minute, something's wrong here. And Christians just like, so be discerning. And yet, be humble, be receptive if it's the Lord really speaking, to us. So God can use us to prophesy. He can use you to move the hearts and center the minds of people towards the Lord, just like those musicians. That's when we worship. That's what's happening to us. That's Elsie and Noel, the team, and Jason, whoever's leading us. They're using the music to do that, to center our minds and move our hearts, and all types of literature can be used for that, as the Word of God is coming through, and through leadership in teaching or worship. Either way, it's transmitting God's Word, and so in that sense, there are not just a few that can prophesy. Now, Samuel gives a summary and review in verses 17 through 24. A reiteration of what happened and how Saul is now the king and what happened. And he says, look at verse 19, for example, 17. He summoned the people and he said, I brought you to, verse 18, I brought you, thus says the Lord, I brought you to, brought Israel out of Egypt, and I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all the kingdoms and pressed you, but today you've spurned your God, who is your deliverer from all your calamities and your distresses. And you said to him, no, rather set us a king over us. So he's giving that review, and he says, here you go. You've got your king. The word spurned, ma'as, means to despise. You despised God, he says, you found effect. So God in their history had delivered our people's history, delivered us, which Yasha means to save from our adversaries, from the broken, being broken in pieces. Beautiful words in the Hebrew, ra'ah. He put us, in other words, he puts us back together. And from tribulations, tsara means to be squeezed. He sets us free when we're squeezed and crushed. And he says, just like we can do, we can reject God and his plan like our ancestors did. His historical faithfulness, his leadership, his ability to rescue us from any and all challenges and problems and difficulties. And so if we do that, he adjusts like he did with Israel, and he adapts to our desires and our demands and composes a different plan, which is really second best. Now, Saul, this is what Saul, they got. They got Saul, and he's going to be lots of tsuras, lots of problems for them. Verses 22 and 23, when they looked for him, so they go now to find Saul, and he's hiding. He says, Adonai answered, he says, they looked for me, couldn't be found. Adonai says, he's just hidden himself among the baggage. And maybe this is a prelude to Saul the hider. You know, really the opposite if you think of David, who's going to be take on a challenge to go after Goliath. He says, what's the big deal here? You know, so he's a giant. So it's God. It's not me. It's not. And very opposite. Saul is hiding from here his calling, from being willing. He may be self-doubt, but doesn't look like authentic meekness or humility. And and he says, verse 24, do you see Adonai, who the one, Samuel says, has chosen? Bachar, he's chosen him. Surely there's no one like him. I think perhaps Samuel is being cynical here. He's referring to his stature and appearance, not his character, remember. And so the result is he's then presented to the people. So they say, long live the king. You know, long live the king. Really, the Hebrew just is, live the king. Yichi HaMelech, live the king, but that's the idea, long live the king. And then others actually despised him, the end of the chapter. Others despised him. And so we'll always have those who support and some who oppose, celebration and contempt. And it says in 2 Corinthians 2:14 that, and through 16, really in there, for we're the aroma of the Messiah among those who are being saved and those who are perishing, death to death, life to life, depending the response. We'll always have both in our, if we walk in our mission together, we walk in our, you walk in your mission, you'll have support, but you also have opposition. So be ready for it. We need the Spirit of God. We need the Ruach Elohim and His anointing in order to accomplish our mission. We're called to prophesy to Israel and the nations. To Israel and the nations. We are. We've been anointed to do just that, folks. We've been anointed to do it. You have. We have. To bring remedy, to liberate, to make oaks of righteousness, rams of righteousness. I like that. Elei HaTzedek. Let's say Elei HaTzedek again. Elei HaTzedek. Yes, rams of righteousness. We're powerful rams. We're that who can in turn rebuild and restore and repair. And we're called to do that. And I'm going to actually close early today. Aren't that nice? But next week, because I have here, I was going to recast also, then just mention our vision and goals and what we're all about at Kol Dodi. But I'm going to pray that I can still do it next week, that God will give me the liberty to do it, but I'm going to have it ready. And we'll still continue with 1 Samuel 11. We'll be in chapter 11 next week. But we are going to talk about our vision and our goals. We mentioned some last week. We're going to mention those again. And we're going to mention what distinguishes our beliefs from others that sometimes call themselves messianic. There's a big difference, folks. There's some really major differences. I'm going to hit them on the nails on the head on some of the different things that are really different in our theology and in the way we operate our goals. So come next week and you'll hear it. Come next Shabbat. Be here next Shabbat. And really important stuff. So Father, we thank you for our calling, Lord, to be that you have anointed us, Lord. I thank you that you've anointed everyone here, Lord, to be able to prophesy, to be able to really bring your word, Lord. There's not one person here who's not capable. You feel like you're inept. You think, I'm not me. You know, I'm not sufficient. Paul says, who is sufficient for these things? You're not. But God is in you. That's why he's given you his spirit today. That's why he's given you a spirit. And he's separated you out. He's separated you out. But you're not for no reason. Not just for, you know, he's separated, given you a mission, a purpose. And read through that Isaiah 61 again. Ask the Lord how he can use you to transmit his word through your life. It might be in music. Man, I know God used music to call me in a Messiah conference to call me to tell me I was to come to Nashville the first time, actually, many years ago. He said it was through Lamb's music at the time, Joel Chernow, and it was singing a song, and the Spirit of God just came right through it and said, this is what you're to do. He bore witness, and people came up and asked us to come, some Jewish believers, and we said, yeah, we heard. It was like God saying, yes, do that. Or I forget if it was what the order was, but God wants to transmit his word through you. Lord, I pray for each one of us to have discernment.